My dearly beloved in Christ, today we have a similar gospel to that of 5 Sundays ago on the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. The gospel was a young man, a young lawyer who came to our Lord and said, "What must I do to gain the kingdom of heaven?" And our Lord said, "Well, what do you read in the law?" And he gave the 2 great commandments, love of God with all one's heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love of neighbor. And our Lord said, "Do this, and you will live. You will live in eternity." But the young man, wishing to justify himself, said, "And who is my neighbor?" And our Lord gave him the parable, the wonderful parable of the Good Samaritan. So we could say that on the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, we had the 2 great commandments in the gospel, but our emphasis was on the second, love of neighbor. And what does that mean? So today, I would like to concentrate on the first of the 2 great commandments. And in today's gospel, from St. Matthew, chapter 22, we have one of the Pharisees asking our Lord. Whereas in the gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10, which we read again 5 Sundays ago, it was our Lord asking the young man to say, what must he do to get to heaven? What does he read in the law? And of course, when the Pharisee asked our Lord, which is the great commandment, meaning the greatest, our Lord gave the 2 great commandments, love of God with all one's heart, soul, mind, and strength. And our Lord then said, this is the greatest and the first commandment. And then love of neighbor. So then the question comes up, how do we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? How do we fulfill this first and greatest commandment? Well, we love God by our prayer life, by attending Mass devoutly, receiving the sacraments, living a good Catholic life, avoiding occasions of sin, striving to persevere in the state of sanctifying grace. In short, we love God by doing his will. Our Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So love isn't just this good feeling. It is proved in how we live. And this seems to me to tie together very well with today's epistle. St. Paul says to the Ephesians, I exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, etc. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. What is our calling? Our calling is to be Christians, followers of Christ, imitators of Christ, to practice our faith and strive to fulfill the virtues of which our Lord gives us the example. So what a great dignity to be adopted children of God, brothers and sisters of Christ, members, you might say, of God's family. What a great calling. Let us live in a manner worthy of that calling. And that is how we prove our love for God and how we grow in love of God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is also a good practice in the morning to make the morning offering by which we offer the day to God. We're giving this day for the love of Almighty God. And then again, we strive to live as a good Christian. And by so doing, we grow in love of God. And this is the interesting thing about the virtue of charity, love of God, is there's no limit. You never get to a point where you cannot grow in charity. Now, we could say that about all the virtues with this understanding, that we say that virtue follows the middle course, and that with many virtues you find extremes. For example, with the use of money, one extreme would be miserliness, avarice, never sharing, never giving to those in need, someone who's so attached to material goods. But the opposite fault or vice would be prodigality, someone who is so free that he or she does not take care of his own household and gives away everything. And that would not be virtuous. That would be, again, a fault called prodigality. So then the virtue would lie in the middle. But we can speak about virtues and avoiding the extremes. But when it comes to charity, there's no extreme here. We can love God as much as we possibly can, and we can always love God more. We can always grow more in the love of God. You think about the lives of the saints, how they so easily obtained their petitions from God. They so easily obtained what they asked. Why? Because they loved God so much, God could not resist their prayers. Whereas for us, perhaps we need to pray more to obtain what we ask. Why not strive to become like the saints, filled with love of God? Because the more we love God, the closer we are to God, the more closely we are united with Him. Now, this topic of loving God and proving it by the way we live, and in the epistle, walking in a manner worthy of our calling, reminds me of a book of Holy Scripture. This past week, the breviary assigned the scripture lessons from the book of Tobias. And if you have never read this beautiful book of scripture, I recommend that you read it sometime. It's not very long. I think 14 or 15 chapters. You could be done in half hour to 45 minutes. But this book from the Old Testament tells the wonderful story of a man named Tobias, who was from the tribe of Naphtali and grew up in the northern part of the Holy Land. And even though the 10 tribes that made up the kingdom of Israel after the division of the tribes upon the death of Solomon, even though he was in the 10 tribes in the north, the kingdom of Israel, in which those Israelites would not go to Jerusalem, he nevertheless did faithfully every year according to the law, did not fall into idolatry, and what is more, edified all by his charity, by his piety, and by fulfilling God's holy will. Very, very good man. Well, like the other Israelites from the kingdom of Israel, he also was taken captive by the Assyrians, taken to the city of Nineveh. And he lived there in the fear of God and in virtue with his wife and his young son, who was also named Tobias. And at first the king was favorable to the Israelites. But then after him came a wicked king, and he forbade that the Israelites be given proper burial. Their bodies were to be left just to be devoured by the beasts. Well, Tobias, being a pious man, would give burial to those Jews who had died. He would even go and carry the bodies on his shoulders, take them to his home, and then bury them at night when it was more safe to do so. And finally, the king found out about it, and he issued a sentence of death against Tobias. All his goods were taken away. He went into hiding with his wife and son for 45 days. And then that wicked king died. And then after his death, all of his goods were restored to him, and he continued with his pious works. He was known for his almsgiving and every virtue. Well, one day, God tested Tobias by allowing him to go blind through an accident. And he did not, just like holy Job in the book of Job, he did not blame God. He did not become angry with God. He accepted that trial as a trial permitted by God. And he continued to live a virtuous life. Yet, he fell into poverty because he was not able to work due to blindness. And the family became very poor. And so he remembered a sum of money that he had loaned to a fellow Hebrew named Gabellus, and he sent his young son Tobias. He told him, go to the city of Rages and recover this money that is owed to me, because we're in dire poverty. And the son said, well, I don't know where the city is. I've never been there. I don't know how I can travel there. And just then, a man shows up who, of course, you know the story, was the archangel Raphael in disguise, and ended up being the guardian of the young Tobias, and protected him on the journey, guided him safe, recovered the money, introduced him to a pious young woman whom he married, delivered her from an evil spirit, and so many blessings were granted to the family of Tobias, and it was all because of his virtue. But I first want to read a short section of the advice that was given by the elder Tobias to his young son before he undertook the journey. And I'll read just part of it. "Never suffer pride to reign in thy mind or in thy words, for from it all perdition took its beginning. If any man hath done any work for thee, immediately pay him his hire, and let not the wages of thy hired servant stay with thee at all. See thou never do to another what thou wouldst hate to have done to thee by another. Eat thy bread with the hungry and the needy, and with thy garments cover the naked. Lay out thy bread and thy wine upon the burial of a just man, and do not eat and drink thereof with the wicked. Seek counsel always of a wise man. Bless God at all times, and desire of him to direct thy ways, and that all thy counsels may abide in him," etc. Very wise counsels that he gave his son. Well, as I mentioned, after the journey, and the young Tobias had received, not only the money had been recovered, but received a very large inheritance or dowry from Sarah, from his wife. After all of these blessings, the father and son were talking, and they thought, well, what can we give this man that guided me on the journey and granted all these blessings? And the younger Tobias said to his father, let me give him half of the dowry, half of the inheritance which I have received from my wife. And while they're thinking these things, this is what the archangel Raphael said to them. Then he said to them secretly, bless ye the God of heaven, give glory to him in the sight of all that live, because he hath shown his mercy to you. For it is good to hide the secret of a king, but honorable to reveal and confess the works of God. Prayer is good with fasting and alms, more than to lay up treasures of gold. For alms delivereth from death, and the same is that which purgeth away sins and maketh to find mercy and life everlasting. But they that commit sin and iniquity are enemies to their own soul. I discover then the truth unto you, and I will not hide the secret from you. When thou didst pray with tears, and didst bury the dead, and didst leave thy dinner, and hide the dead by day in thy house, and bury them by night, I offered thy prayer to the Lord. And because thou wast acceptable to God, it was necessary that temptation should prove thee, meaning the blindness. And now the Lord hath sent me to heal thee and to deliver Sarah, thy son's wife, from the devil. For I am the angel Raphael, one of the seven who stand before the Lord. And they fell on their faces, and then the angel disappeared. But all of these blessings came because Tobias was such a virtuous man, and because he bore his trial with patience. God rewarded him. God blessed him. And how does God bless us when we serve him, when we try and love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? There is a peace, there is a joy that comes from living a good Christian life. And I do not remember which saint said this, but I recall reading it. That one saint said, if I were told and I were assured that there were going to be no future life, that everything would end with death, I would still serve God the way I am. I would still carry my cross and do penance and pray and practice virtue, because I find in doing that such joy, such peace of heart, such comfort, that I would rather do that than a worldling. But a worldling's attitude is, live it up. Live life to the fullest. And yet, when they do that, and they pursue their happiness in the things of this world, they receive only bitterness in return. And we know, those who strive to live their holy Catholic faith know the joy of serving God, carrying our cross, fulfilling our daily duty, saying our rosaries and our prayers, striving for virtue, each day trying to work out our salvation. This is not drudgery. This is not misery. God rewards us even in this life with the joy, the peace of heart, the happiness of those who serve God and strive to love him with all their hearts. And what could we say of the future reward in heaven? So let us rededicate ourselves to loving God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, walking in a manner worthy of your vocation, striving always to love God more, because we can never love him too much. And how grateful we must be for all that he has given to us. Let us think of the reward in store and persevere in serving God as he deserves to be served. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.